tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Johnson. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Welcome back to After Buzz, where we have one of the most epic episodes of Star Wars Rebels ever.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how far did you nerd out?
10, 11, no, 25.
Explosions.
That's about how my mind went. I was like, 10, 11, 25, oh my God! I was
so excited. That quickly, in that order.
Anyways, guys. Oh, there it is again. Oh, so good. That's the music that was playing in my head.
Yes.
When the fight was going on. Duel of the Fates. Oh, it's so good. Anyway, guys, welcome back. We're here to talk about Season 1, Episode 13, the finale, Fire Across the Galaxy. And we have a very special guest today. You may know her as Harrison Dula, or maybe many other names. Do you get confused by all your names?
Nope.
Okay. But, anyways, guys, Vanessa Marshall's here. Join us.
Hey.
Woo-hoo.
Awesome. Happy to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Look, Hera has been our favorite character all season long.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
For sure.
So 110%. We are very excited that you're here.
Well, thank you. I'm honored. I love the whole cast. I think everyone's amazing.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
No, well, I mean, we love, together obviously, as a team. We love everyone,
yeah,
too. But
they're just amazing.
Just, you're our new favorite Twi'lek.
Hey.
She's Team Mom.
She's our favorite pilot, for sure.
That's true, too.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go. I'm honored.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
Anyways, I got to introduce my lovely co-host, too. Megan Salinas.
Hi, guys.
There you go. There you go, guys. You know, we're going to do this. Hey.
So, you know, we are streaming live on YouTube right now. If you want to join in the conversation, you can tweet any of us. You can also use hashtag ABTVRebels.
Oh,
if you
want
to tweet me, my name is Kiaxet, K-I-A-X-E-T.
And you can tweet at me directly at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N.
And you can tweet at me at Dylan Chance. That's D-I-L-L-O-N-C-H-A-N-C-E. And Vanessa.
At Van Marshall.
There you go. So, here we go. Let's do this, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, guys, if you haven't subscribed to us, please do on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, all of those great choices. Follow us. We love it. We appreciate it. And because people follow us and comment and talk to us, this is why we get guests. This is why Vanessa's here.
Yay. Absolutely.
So, thank you, guys. And let's get into this, guys. I nerded out. Should we just go straight into the best part of the whole episode, or should we break it
down? I get the feeling that you're going to explode if we don't.
Yeah,
and that would be quite a mess to clean up out of the studio.
We will follow your lead.
Ready? Okay, so Ahsoka's back! Oh my God! I was so excited! Guys. What did you feel? Because I yelled at my computer.
Honestly, we were just watching it going, Dylan's going to lose his noise. He's going to lose it.
We were cracking up a little bit because it was a great revelation, but because we knew what it meant to you, we couldn't stop laughing.
So, Vanessa, I know you're a big fan of Star Wars outside of the show.
Yes.
I mean, I know you're in the show now, but also outside of it.
Yes.
So, did you watch the Clone Wars?
Yes.
So,
religiously.
Are you a big Ahsoka fan?
Totally.
Oh?
And I had, you and I, you went to 11. I broke the meter. the machine melted into the ground. I mean, I nothing can explain how my soul lifted up, cracked open. And Dave Filoni owns my soul.
Yeah, I've been riding on the high all day long.
Oh.
I watched it this morning. I didn't get to watch it last night, but I watched it this morning, and I lost it, and all day long I've just been like, just waiting for this, just to yell and talk about it.
They actually coffee, right?
Yeah, it's so good.
They gave us a special screening of it, and I couldn't move following seeing it animated. Now, I already knew, because I read the script, obviously, and recorded it. However, nothing can prepare you for that moment.
Oh, so good.
It was perfect. And they literally said, we've never seen you silent, Vanessa. What's going on? It was just a reverence for just how powerful, A, that the Clone Wars was, B, how lovely Ahsoka is. And I heard Ashley say in the Rebels Recon that, you know, whereas Snips was asking all the questions in the Clone Wars, now she's giving the answers.
Right.
So it's wonderful and satisfying as a fan for me to see her sort of come full circle. Obviously not fully a Jedi yet,
yes.
But I am deeply satisfied.
So
by that.
Well, she was off, like she left at season 5 in the Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of trouble that went down and she basically kind of got kicked out of the Jedi Order. Mm-hmm. Falsely accused of a crime, but because they didn't have her back and didn't believe her, she decided, I'm not dealing with this, and she left.
Mm-hmm.
And then we never saw her again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been years of Ahsoka living on her own, out who knows where in
having
space.
Having adventures.
Yeah, no one knows.
Pulling space heists.
Well, so probably just trying
question.
To survive.
Does she know what happened to Anakin?
That was my question.
That's a big question. I heard some people talking about it, and we don't really know how far the knowledge of Anakin as Vader is out.
Because is that something well known throughout the galaxy that this former Jedi became the the new?
I don't think anyone knows.
The news didn't make it to Tatooine.
I mean, if you think about Obi-Wan when he was telling Luke about his father, he just constantly said, "Oh, he's dead. He died. He died in the Clone Wars. I knew him. I know he died." But then when Obi-Wan gets to the Death Star and they're talking, and Vader comes out.
Oh, boy.
He knows instantly it's Anakin. I mean, immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Because he can sense it. Obviously, he went on so many adventures and lived and trained him for so long. But he knew he was Darth Vader, though. So I feel like they know of Darth Vader, but they don't know that Darth Vader is Anakin.
That it wasn't until Obi-Wan was actually on the ship
in
and
his
felt
presence.
Anakin's presence.
Right. I think it wasn't until Obi-Wan saw him walk around the corner, like, sensed that force and was like, that's Anakin. Like, you know?
I think since Order 66, all bets are off. I was praying that Plo Koon was still alive, I think
that's
that,
so sad.
That plane crashed for sure. But
Plo Koon is awesome.
I think many people sort of assume that
they would keep him.
That it's curtains for most Jedi.
Oh, right.
Even Ahsoka, even Vader.
Yeah.
So whether they know of it or not, whether he's alive or dead, I think even if you are a Jedi, you're keeping very quiet, at least at this point in the Rebels story.
Yeah.
But debatable. Yeah.
And see, the only thing that throws me off about that is later when Luke talks to Ghost Obi-Wan and he says, you said he was dead, and he was like, "Well, he is
in a metaphorical way,
from a certain point of view."
That's one of those things where you could easily step back and go, "They were writing it."
Along. But, and he might have thought he was dead. So, and then he was like, "Well, I guess I didn't know, really." but that opens up the door because there are a lot of people that didn't necessarily we see on screen deaths or hear about in comics or books. That could still be out there.
But I would say the Jedi. I would say the Jedi is dead. The Sith was born.
Oh, right.
Sort of.
Yeah, sort of.
Say it again.
It's a comic book death. No body, no death.
Right.
Yeah.
See, so there's still a bunch of people like Asajj Ventress. We could always see her come back.
Yes, please.
We are getting a book about Asajj and Quinlan Vos.
Thank God.
Quinlan Vos was a Jedi. I mean, he was Jedi Master. Mm. So it'd be interesting to see what happens to them, because if they don't die in that book. Do you know when the book is set? Is it set?
It's much later after the Clone Wars. I know that much.
So is it after Order 66?
I believe so.
What
are you... Megan and I need popcorn for this conversation.
Sorry.
Well, no, you're good.
We've talked about Asajj Ventress before.
Oh, we have. It's not that we don't know what's going on. It's that we're at 2 and you guys are at like a billion.
Asajj and Ahsoka even teamed up at one point.
Yes, wasn't that great?
So what happened? What if she ran into Asajj back out in the middle of space and was like, "Hey, you want to team up again?
Yeah, man.
Take down this empire?"
Oh, I like
Wild West style, right?
Because Asajj is a mercenary.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Write the fic.
I'm going to write the fanfic. I got it, guys.
Write the fanfic.
Okay.
That's what this notebook is.
That's
it's not actually Rebels notes. It's just fanfiction.
You guys think this, my notebook, is like notes from the show, but it's actually me just writing a fanfiction the whole time we talk.
What do you think my entire Google Drive is?
All right, let's go into the episode, though, because we're going off on a tangent about Ahsoka and Asajj.
But,
all right.
I mean,
I knew it was gonna happen.
I mean, we can wait till the end of the episode, but with the introduction or the reintroduction of Ahsoka, followed by the character that we are also reintroduced to at the end of the series that brings up a lot of questions about where they're going with the series.
We'll talk about
it's set up. Yeah, so we'll talk about it later.
That,
we might cry. We might cry.
Yeah. I posited a little bit of my soul that made everyone angry at me, so I'm very proud of myself.
She's done it before.
She'll do it again. My theory still stands.
Okay.
She just wants to see you cry, Dylan. I'm sorry.
Some people just want to watch the worlds burn.
So at the beginning of this episode, we are at a tie hangar out in the middle of the fall, and it looks like I thought they were going to steal another TIE fighter, but I guess they're stealing like a transport ship, which is pretty cool. And I love this part because Sabine shows up and she's like, "Hey boys, you missed me," and she's running around.
Yeah.
And it's like all the stormtroopers know Sabine because he just shows up and sabotages stuff.
Yeah, they're all Steve Bloom. Not again.
So they call her the artist, which is funny. It's a cool little rebel nickname.
Formerly known as
You know, in all honesty, I don't even think they're all that mad.
I know what you're talking about.
I think she puts on such a great show that they're not super mad that she blows up all their stuff.
Right.
Well, considering that Tarkin has started decapitating the incompetent, you'd think they'd be all It's like, eat the rude, but for Star Wars.
Yeah. So, she blows up some ships. They steal a transport ship. Mm-hmm. They're flying off, and that's their plan. Get a transport, and now they can get to the Star Destroyer, send a code in, and they'll pass. They'll just, it's like the Return of the Jedi when they're flying the shuttle, whatever it's called.
Their codes are old, but we'll let them through anyway.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right.
So they're flying in, and they get up there, and this is the plan, but they have, what is it? They're discussing the plan, and they say, oh, the ship's too big. We need a smaller ship to fly in and take care of it.
It's too bad we blew up all those TIE fighters.
Yeah, exactly. And this is, in that episode, guys, if you were listening here, you know, we called it, like, that TIE fighter's coming back.
Well, we had a screen cap of the painted TIE fighter.
No. I'm talking about all the way back to that episode where they stole that TIE fighter.
Oh, yeah, that's Chekhov's TIE fighter.
Yeah, we...
Oh,
that's funny.
We knew it was coming back.
That's genius. No, just the way they were giggling about it way back when, it was like, there's no way that TIE fighter is gone. Either that or they crashed it in a hilarious
what's funny
place.
Is,
one of the two.
And it's a shiny.
No way are they
getting rid of it.
But what's funny is, Ezra and Zeb were both like, oh, yeah, so, yeah. But then as soon as he says something wrong, Zeb joined in on Harrison was like, what do you mean? Like, now he's mad because they did something without him knowing about it. Yeah. And Sabine,
I thought we were bros.
Painted the ship.
Yes. She tagged it.
Yeah, she tagged it good.
And it looked great, but you do have to get... I get why Zeb was a little angry, because that was a bonding experience for them.
Yeah.
And then they went and did something without him. He was
poor
like,
Zeb.
That 50% of that TIE fighter is mine.
Right. So let's talk about now. It goes from having fun stealing TIE fighters, throwing painted ships, to Kanan getting tortured by the Inquisitor.
How about Mustafar?
Yeah, Mustafar. That's scary.
Right,
buff.
Animated. I love that.
That shot with the ship right in front of the planet.
All the animation for this whole episode, I thought, was really spectacular.
I was thinking they were going to take him down. To the surface of Mustafar, but they parked outside and, you know, hung out.
It's hot down there,
yeah.
Dylan.
I wouldn't want to go either, so, you know.
They're still trying to find parking.
This was a messed up scene, because the Inquisitor starts, playing mind games with Kanan.
Uh-huh.
It's not just physical torture.
Anything less?
Well, I mean, it had been physical torture up until this point.
And that's better?
Well, I don't know.
You can make the argument that he can tough it out, but then the Inquisitor starts getting psychological on him and starts getting to those deep-seated issues.
Mm-hmm. What were your master's last words to you?
Yeah, how did you survive Order 66? Oh, it was your master, huh? What was Master Bilba's last word?
Oh.
Her last breath.
Well,
and you're like, oh,
because the Inquisitor has done his homework, too. He's studied over all of those archives really extensively, and so... He knows exactly what pressure points to hit.
Master,
he came prepared, and he's going to pass the test.
Master Bilba's last word. Run.
Yeah.
Oof, that's
a rough last word for anything.
Especially when you're yelling it to a 14-year-old running for his life while his, you know, only person that he gets to interact with, really, his main interaction in the world, is, dying. That's messed up.
Yeah.
That's a huge crisis.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, for kids.
Yeah. I got chills when I was watching this scene.
You don't even have the courage to wear your saber in the open. Oh, no. I was like, oh man. It's like he's in below the belt.
Guilt, shame.
Yeah, guilt,
shame. He gets
shame.
In on all the real...
Did your team know you ran?
Oh, shame.
Oh, man.
How do you think any of them ever survive? Everyone's done something.
Yeah, they had a run.
Yeah.
You couldn't save your master then, and you can't save your followers now.
Oh. And this is the point where we started laughing because it's, oh, you think they follow him? That's
so cute.
Yeah, right. Completely wrong.
They share follow. They half follow Kanan and half follow Hera. They follow Kanan unless Hera says something about it.
Yeah, Hera is Kanan is charisma, but Hera is team mom. The buck stops there.
Kanan doesn't even
she
know
will
anything.
Turn the ship around.
So
he doesn't really in more ways than one.
We go back and we get a little force sensing here because they have to make sure that Kanan's on the ship before they try and do anything crazy. And
because they haven't already.
Well, yeah. At this point, they can still turn around and hyperspace out of there.
True.
Yeah. So before they send the codes and try to fly a TIE fighter in and stuff. Oh, and I like this that they're like, oh, don't worry, it's painted, but they won't see it till last minute anyways.
But it's too late.
So they accept the codes because they know Kanan's there because Ezra senses him. And they fly the TIE fighter in with a little surprise package in there. Some EMP grenades set by Sabine. And this
she's
is the
so
best.
Good.
Yeah, she's so good.
I love her.
This is the best is they... The stormtroopers, man, they give the stormtroopers a lot of funny lines in this show, which
yeah,
I like.
Yeah.
The stormtroopers like, that one's cool, that one's cool, that one, and he goes, that one's not up to, or what's he say?
That one's not regulation.
Yeah, that one's not regulation. And then the other one goes, I kind of like it. It's just like, these idiot stormtroopers.
Well, they must, I think that's a glimpse into how dreary most of their days are, and all of the ships are so sterile that it's just got to be nice to see a little bit of color.
I heard someone say on Twitter, pimp my tie.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I almost never hear me reference this, but it's like that scene in Cars with the Jeep and the hippie van watching the light blink.
Yeah.
Hippie.
So, yeah, he liked that, so that's good. The MP thing goes off. They use his TIE fighter, his lightsaber to bust through the wall. I don't know where I was. My mind is still on painted TIE fighters, guys. So he uses his lightsaber to jump in.
It's a good place to be.
And it did make a big bang.
It did. Oh, it took out the whole Star Destroyer.
The fact that it took out the stormtroopers, too, was like, that looked like it hurt.
So what I'm thinking was, because it kind of looked like an EMP, because it took off all the electronics. And that's what EMPs do, electromagnetic pulse, boom, all the electronics go on.
But
I'm thinking maybe it knocked them out.
Flavor of concussion as well.
Do Stormtrooper's helmet have a lot of electronics in it? I was just thinking
I
it was like stuff blowing up in there.
That shouldn't.
Not but maybe they have maybe implants. Since they were so close to the blast, that first like little radius there, that it, the force of that
it seemed pretty intense.
Yeah,
could be.
So it doesn't matter. But it's also Star Wars; they could have
science.
They should have some kind of crazy grenade we don't know about.
I just figured all of their suits have electrical, you know, readouts of some sort. So,
and Tarkin, being the awesome commander that he is, Grand Moff, is so smart that he is sending out like a interval all clear message. So the second it's missed, the other ships send in reinforcements. That's crazy. That's crazy planning.
Yeah,
only a crazy person would plan like that.
Yeah,
and that's Tarkin.
Just because he's paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get him.
Well, it's true. Everybody's out
We're
to get Tarkin.
We're not quite at Xanatos Gambit level yet, but he's good.
He's good.
He knows his stuff. He knows how to win a war.
Yeah, and so now they have reinforcements showing up, and the crew is having to run through the hallways like crazy. And Hera gives him the line of they shut off the wall, and they're like, that was Kanan. We can't get back to him. And Hera says, oh, we can, but you can.
I love it. Yeah. I'm always shoving him in an air duct somewhere.
Just get in there.
Poor kid. It's puberty.
Well,
I don't know, man. It's not going to work anymore.
Well, he'll have to change the plan.
And why hasn't the Empire put grating in their air ducts? That problem would be gone forever.
Well, they haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, I don't think they realize.
You know, why was there
his little antics?
But that's on the evil overlord list.
Why was there a master flaw in the Death Star, Katie?
Oh, they're idiots.
They obviously have poor construction.
I was going to say, if we're going to go ahead and do that, I mean, I think we've pretty much established that the Empire, though you have some very smart people like Tarkin, they're not the sharpest tools in the shed.
It's a bureaucracy.
It's a
bureaucracy. They're always going to hit a wall somewhere.
And you've got to remember a lot of people are forced into the Empire. It's not by choice. So, you know, they're probably just doing their jobs like, I don't want to be here. Which is sad, because you think about the Death Star blowing up and all those people that die.
I have friends on the Death Star.
This is why I like the Phineas and Ferb Star Wars episode, because they actually take the time to show you getting everyone else off the Death Star on a space bus.
That's awesome.
So
it's wonderful.
He goes in advance. We see Fulcrum appear now to Chopper, and she's like, "Who is this?"
Yeah,
Chopper. What do you guys think about Chopper in there? Because we're over here sitting on this side, going, "Chopper is a crazy robot that's trying to kill everyone."
I love Chopper.
Yeah, I mean,
I love me some Chopper.
He's crazy.
Yeah. And very effective.
Yeah.
He gets the job done. He's pulled this out of numerous jams.
That's true.
Yet again.
But he's also almost killed Kanan like two or three times.
Well,
and Ezra.
Luckily, Kanan's very resilient, so, you know, keeps him on his toes.
Yeah, yeah. He's like a training. He's constantly keeping them on their toes.
He's so funny.
He has a death count.
He is a funny little grumpy droid. I like that.
He murdered four people last episode.
Well, that was, you know, he was trying to get out to Hera to get fly off.
Yeah, I think they had established that R2 was more like a dog and Chopper was more like a cat.
Cannot be bothered.
That makes a lot of sense. That explains why they didn't get along either.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Him and R2 at each other. Yeah. So, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, I think
Chopper's a cat.
Dave Filoni said that Greg Weissman came up with that analogy, and it really fit.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
And it makes sense, too, because even when Kanan was gone, we saw a little motion from Chopper, and that was like the first time we saw Chopper, like, a little sad.
Yes. Like down in the dumps.
And that's how cats get when their owners are gone.
I'm just thinking of cats knocking things off of shelves on the droid last episode.
Yeah, see?
Like, nope.
Yeah, he knocked that droid off. See you later.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Cat and mouse.
So Ezra finds Kanan. He gets him out of there and they walk out. And this is where we start getting into it. This is where the episode started for me. I was like, here we go.
I was expecting Inquisitor right when they opened the door. I was like,
Oh
no, he has to choose dramatic lighting.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
And awesome fight zone.
Yeah.
Very episode one.
Full of high places.
So good.
It was right back to episode
bridge.
One. Yeah, fighting on bridges.
Give me a bridge.
Padawan's falling off the bridge. Yeah. Dual lightsabers. All right.
It must be Tuesday.
That's when Duel of the Fates started playing in my head as soon as they walked in.
I think that's fair. I'm surprised like it wasn't playing, in all honesty.
I would have, my head would have exploded. I don't think I could have handled that, dude. That would have just killed me.
I think Disney is aware that it would have had a higher body count than Chopper if it actually started playing that.
It was so good.
Yeah.
And I like, he doesn't have his lightsaber. The Inquisitor has it, so he borrows Ezra's. And this is where we finally get to see the double weapon that Ezra has built. Because we've all been wondering, like, can it shoot and lightsaber at the same time? We don't know. No, it can't. But you can go back and forth pretty quickly, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So I love that he tried to trick him. He starts running at him with the lightsaber on. Turns it off and shoots it. And then even the Inquisitor's face is like, whoa, what's happening?
Yeah.
And then he turns it back on and boom, 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 he's back in the attack. And that, to me, was the ultimate mode of Cowboy Jedi, which they've always described Kanan as. Because he's now running with a gun and a saber, and this is like, yes, this is awesome.
I'm just really amused that we went from, I have to lean on you, I can't walk, to combat ready!
Hey, adrenaline is a crazy thing, all right? Especially
women lift cars to save their kids.
See?
That's true.
Crazy force powered adrenaline is a crazy thing.
He was fantastic suddenly.
I'm feeling great.
And then as soon as they get back to the ship, he just collapses.
Yeah. Right. So then they're fighting a little bit, and what's cool is he turns around and he gets in between Kanan and Ezra, and Ezra force pulls Kanan's lightsaber off. So now Kanan has Ezra's lightsaber, and Ezra has Kanan's lightsaber.
And the Inquisitor is like, I'm sticking with mine.
Yep.
Oh, and
we're having a Darth Maul moment here.
This is... Oh,
so
you know
good.
What? Okay,
no
so this line...
Stabbed.
This line of Ezra kind of made me want to just slap Ezra for a second. Because he, whenever Kanan was running with a saber, turned it into a gun, shot, and then turned it back into a saber and started fighting, Ezra goes, I never thought of that. And I was like, you built a lightsaber gun and you never thought about that? What are you doing, Ezra? He needs more training. He, obviously.
Yeah.
Poor kid.
He's 14? The only thing I could think of is it was a callback to when he saw the Inquisitor's lightsaber and said, does yours do that?
Right.
Does mine do that?
Yeah.
Or,
mine doesn't do that.
Yeah. Kanan multiple times has said, mine doesn't do that.
Well, Kanan, fix it.
Yeah. But now Kanan takes Ezra's. He's like, hey, I'm going to borrow that. This is cool. Yeah. I actually think they should switch because Kanan seems to be able to do it a little bit better than Ezra.
Ezra built that sucker.
It's
But Kanan can catch up.
Well, yeah, I guess Kanan needs to modify his.
Oh, yeah.
Could happen. Cool.
So now they both have lightsabers, and this is where the Inquisitor says, at last, a fight that might be worthy of my time. And you're like, uh-oh, here we go. And then Ezra gets kicked out pretty quick.
That did not take long.
No, but, you know, he's not, I mean, how long have they been training? He's only had his lightsaber for a while.
How much balance beam training have they
exactly.
been doing?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's as wide as this table.
Right.
Come on.
No, yeah. But still, he's 14. He hasn't been trained that much. I don't know what he thought he was going to do, but Inquisitor turns on his crazy double-bladed lightsaber and just kicks him a couple times.
The windmill of doom.
He's done. But that is what sets up Kanan, because now Kanan, he loses
best
it.
Best line ever, yeah?
Yeah, here we go.
Nothing to fear.
Nothing to fear. Yeah, what does he say right before that? He says,
you have no one left to die for you.
Yeah, and he says, well, you've really messed up or something like that. Along those lines, like, you've done it now. Because now I got nothing left to fear. And he's double lightsaber, and you're like, there it is.
There it is.
Yes. That's it. This music kicked in, and Kanan had two lightsabers.
Holy crap.
And they started going at it, and he even turns one to a gun at one point. And then back to lightsabers. It was amazing.
And the triple kick.
Oh, yes. The Inquisitor came up with that triple kick.
Unreal. Brilliant animation.
This whole fight scene was one of the best Star Wars fight scenes. Not just of the show, not just of the animated shows, but the whole series. Yeah. This was an awesome fight scene because that whole scene where Kanan is like running, switches one to a gun while he's still swinging the other one and shooting one.
Yep.
That's never been done before. That was awesome.
So good.
Because most Jedis don't use blasters. I mean, look at the last time we saw someone use a blaster. Obi-Wan was like, you know, in, what was it, Attack of the Clones? Or was it Revenge of the Sith? Either way, he picks up the blaster and he kills Grievous with it. That was the last one, huh?
The ones that we've all blocked from. Impressed, that's the word.
Any shoots him and he goes, ugh, such a uncivilized weapon.
Like they
never,
that's right.
Yeah, they never use blasters.
That battle, yeah, that was very funny.
It's awesome.
Because they're knights.
Right.
They fight with swords.
But Kanan has been growing up for these last, like, 15 years, hiding his lightsaber and using blasters.
Yeah.
So he's a good shot.
Yep.
And he's good with a saber. So he's, like, got it best
he's
of both.
At home with both.
I hope when he gives Ezra's saber back, he just starts fighting like that with a regular blaster.
He's great.
Can't wait
till the day he tries to block with the blaster and see I tried.
I can't do that.
Well, someone was wondering if you could even block the shots that Ezra shot, if you could reflect those like a blaster. But I don't know if you can, because it seemed like they were some kind of
like a
laser.
It looked like a taser gun.
It looks like a different type of energy than, like, the normal blaster.
Yeah, because obviously it's harnessing
that he'd been using on his little slingshot thing.
Exactly. No, it's different because
it is?
It's,
really? I wasn't sure.
I think it has to be because it's powered by the lightsaber crystal. It's all in the same weapon.
But that doesn't mean he didn't cannibalize his little sleeve thing and put it in there.
I just imagine it drew its power from the kyber crystal.
Well, you also have to keep in mind what he's capable of engineering. If he built the thing that he was using as a slingshot, it would make sense that he'd use similar technology when he was putting together his little lightsaber gun.
So,
we're going to see more of it next season, so maybe we'll see some new things.
It might not be pulling from the crystal. It might have its own power source.
Yeah, right. That's true. Hopefully he shoots at Vader one day. And Vader just walks away.
If he runs into Vader, he ain't walking away from that confrontation.
No.
Let's not.
Oh, here it goes. Is Kanan okay? I think he's better than okay.
Yeah.
That was when he was doing the crazy shooting and the jumping around.
Can I just... That whole emotional turmoil thing could have been avoided if anyone had bothered to look over the edge and see Ezra, you know, 3 feet down.
But look, Kanan wouldn't have gone into
that.
Yeah,
that was a big fall, man.
But still, it's very much visible.
It was a big
fall.
But
he looked conked out, man.
I would have thought. He never know, and he just
be able to sense that he wasn't dead, though.
But no, he not necessarily. If he's totally focused on
this
fight,
you
see Ezra get hit with a double-bladed, flying, spinning lightsaber, and then fly off the edge. You don't know where that hit him. That could have slit his throat.
He didn't even bother to look.
Well, he did
look
for a second.
That's killing me. He didn't look.
How long do you have to look when the Inquisitor's standing right there at your face with a lightsaber about to...
Well, the Inquisitor's also gloating over it,
well,
so...
The way I look at it is the way it was framed to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the audience didn't see Ezra fall and land on something, because you can fall and land on something and still be... You know, if it's far enough, it could still kill you.
Right.
It could still knock you out.
Yeah, if he falls, you can fall 10 feet and land on your neck and you're still going to die.
Exactly.
So you don't know what's happening. He was laying there limp.
So what they could have done to maybe build up the suspense of is he or is he not dead, because the way they framed it, it was very much a, oh, he fell into the ether, he's gone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because they didn't show him land. If they had showed him landing really hard and like maybe heard one or two things crack, that would have made the audience go, oh my gosh, like, is he okay? And then to see him not moving after that, then that's like, oh, is he alive? Is he unconscious?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
I got that in the shot that they did show of him sort of.
Yeah, because it was right after that.
And I felt like it was a lot farther for me personally, but maybe I wasn't looking to, like, solve the emotional problem. I was also sort of having an emotional reaction.
It was very emotional because of what Kanan's going through, but for the way they framed it, they didn't show Ezra having landed on the beam until after he makes his big speech
to call him.
That's interesting.
Fair enough. I pictured
after
it from
the edge. I didn't think he was dead at all.
Well, obviously, we know he's not going to be dead. He's the main character,
the king.
But I pictured it from Kanan's view. He sees the Inquisitor throw a lightsaber at Ezra, and Ezra just fly off the side of a bridge. I mean,
you know what? This is a guy who watched his Jedi Master be killed. And I think
every Jedi he ever knew,
he thinks are
dead.
He wants to lose another Jedi.
Right.
Whether he's dead or not, you just messed with my Padawan. And I think it's on like Donkey Kong.
Right.
It's over.
Right.
It's over.
Exactly.
Curtains, buddy. Like, now he just, well, they say that, you know, who's the person you should fear the most? The one with nothing to lose.
Right.
That's him at that moment.
So there he is.
So I guess regardless of him being dead, even that he hurt him on any level, making him unconscious, I think would motivate him. I don't know that he's certain that he's dead either, but I think there's enough going on for him to be
it's not even just
get in there.
It's one, he may be dead, or two, if I don't do this right now, he's going to be dead.
Yeah.
So either way,
literally pushing Ezra over the edge, metaphorically pushes Kanan over the edge.
There it is,
hey.
Nice.
Well done.
And then we have a straight up Disney villain death.
Oh, well, yeah. So Kanan goes crazy now, and that's when he starts tearing it up, and the Inquisitor can't even keep up at this point. I think Kanan needs a second lightsaber, because the second he got that, man.
He was doing great.
I don't know
if he got the chance to level up his dual wielding skill, but man!
He is good. Yeah. And I like this. I mean, they use this, like, everything that he jumped into that console, and they were fighting over the edge, and Kanan's, like, jumping over the side. It was pretty epic.
I think the colors, too,
when
it exploded, everything was so vibrant. And
then they used,
Kevin Kiner's music was amazing.
They used, slow-mo, like, just to build that effect, because he turns on his double blade and starts spinning it, because he thinks, like, I'm in a corner here. I'm about to fall off the edge. And Kanan says, you know, I'll show you what fear. And he's like, takes it in half.
Yeah,
that was awesome. And I was like, well,
that's a gutsy move.
Yeah, just right through the middle. Splits it. Poor Inquisitor. And then he falls, and he's holding on. And this line, this probably struck some fear into Kanan. He got that fear back a little bit, because the Inquisitor says, you have no idea what you have unleashed here today. There are some things far more frightening than death. And then he goes, just let's go. Yeah, Inquisitor drops the mic.
Inquisitor would rather die than get a negative employee evaluation.
Yes. I think the Inquisitor would rather die than have to talk to Vader.
You haven't met my boss!
What I'm curious about is, just as the whole Qui-Gon thing and the Yoda arc in Season 6 of The Clone Wars elucidated more of sort of what exactly is going on in the afterlife and so on and so forth with Jedi in particular, I'm curious what is going on with Inquisitors, because as far as we know, there's no talk of, you know, an Inquisitor or Sith or anyone from the dark side coming back and going, yo, dude,
you
know, I'm right here.
Right, yeah.
Shenanigans.
You know, when he says you've no idea what you've unleashed, I'm curious if they're going to explore a version of an underworld. And I am literally spitballing here. I have no idea what I'm talking about. But as a fan, I'm very curious if there is something that transcends death for an Inquisitor that we are going to be really terrified
of. Sith hell!
I don't think you understand how badly I want this now.
I don't know.
Super bad.
Should I roll off into expanded universe? Should my Wikipedia brain
explode?
No, I won't do it. Well, I know it's
write it in your fanfic now.
Write it in there.
Well, I mean, I'm sort of when he did that, it was such certainty, and he fell off. Part of me was like, he's not dying.
Yeah,
he's going to transcend
like
this.
He
he's
knows
going
something.
To torture Kanan. Right. I just have the, I don't know. And again, now I'm talking as a fan. I'm not. I'm saying that it seemed strategic to me, and I'm curious where we're going to go with that.
It could be, but it also, I feel like it could just be a, like, he's one of those people that doesn't tolerate losses, and like, he would rather die with the honor of having thrown himself off.
Indeed.
And also,
and you're probably
maybe
right.
a
and
little
again,
bit afraid to face the Emperor.
Totally. Probably a little of column A, a little of column B.
I seriously want ghost shenanigans. I said that right after we finished watching the episode. Like, that was a really short runtime for a really good villain.
But just to throw it out there, in the expanded universe, there are times where Sith Lords have come back, like, in powerful Sith force to, like, like, haunt people and, like corrupt their mind.
Like a big smoke monster?
I want it.
More like evil Obi-Wan ghost, you know?
So
like, they come back, but they also, like, they just do it in your mind, and they just corrupt your mind and drive you to go crazy.
He wouldn't come back to mess with Kanan. He'd come back to mess with Ezra.
Ooh.
Yeah, but no, I don't think he's strong enough to do that, because he's never been fully trained. Like, he's not even
technically
a Sith.
No, you're right. You're
so,
right.
But he might have just upset the balance of whatever is going on so much that, like, now the Emperor's going to send everything he's got after these Jedi.
I am enchanted to wonder.
Yes, exactly.
What that sentence means.
That's what's great about this. Yeah,
whatever it means, I'm excited to see it happen. I
mean, and obviously we already see Vader show up. So I mean, that right there is like, okay, well,
I feel like
big
that's
bad's
a simple
here.
Answer.
Yeah.
And that there's more to it.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that one.
I don't know. We'll see. I really please don't take that as like some spoiler alert.
No.
I have no idea what I'm talking about, but as a fan, I'm sort of curious.
Yeah, it's fun. Fun to
speculate.
Yeah. We've been speculating all season that Ahsoka would show up, and she did. So who knows
when you say we, you mean you.
Well,
Snips. He's such an interesting character too that I mean, it's good that they let him go, because then you can bring in Vader and everything like that, because it's a little crowded in the
villain.
Kitchen. Yeah,
we could have a new villain.
Villain
next season.
But
Inquisitor Mark II.
But it is disappointing.
Female Inquisitor.
Ooh,
yeah,
I'd watch that. But it is disappointing just because he was my favorite villain on the show, and he's his second favorite character, I would say. But
you know who else could also come to hunt down
Asajj?
No, our rebels. Bounty hunters. You know, see where I'm going with this?
Well,
I think
Mandalorian bounty hunters, maybe?
But also many other bounty hunters.
Yeah, I think you just made Megan extremely happy.
I mean, we need to have that as like a musical cue
every time something amazing.
Maybe things didn't really happen in the desert as we saw.
Ooh.
I mean, for Boba.
Oh, right. Well, but this was before, so.
So he'd be running around the galaxy anyway.
Yeah, he's out there, but bounty hunting.
We're between Revenge of the Sith and Episode 4.
Right.
So, Revenge of the Sith.
Boba Fett didn't die until the Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Was it Return?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's okay.
Oh, here we go. She's
spoilers.
Been
a, guys, spoilers.
See? Guys, whoa. She's been at work all day long. Just cut her some slack there.
Yeah, no. Okay, then there is a possibility. Yes. No, because I remember I was talking to someone and they were like, no, he can't be there. He's dead.
No, that person doesn't know what they're talking about. But we didn't die until Return of the Jedi.
Right, I love so,
and even then, it's air quotes.
Die. Right. Because everyone got so angry.
Well, yeah, because we don't know if he actually died or not. You know, all that expanded universe
because
stuff where he
no
flew out of the
canon.
Song.
You know what? I think they were conjecturing for episode 7.
Well, I mean, in episode 7, he'd be like an old man. So what? Some
hey,
Boba
man,
Fett with a cane.
I want Boba. I don't care if he's in a burlap sack.
The helmet, I'll be
every
honest.
Every character from the original trilogy is fair game for this series. That's what makes it so much fun.
Right.
We saw Lando. We saw Bail Organa. Now we've seen Ahsoka from the prequels.
Right.
But they could bring... Leia could show up. She's like 14, right?
Her dad's... I mean, her adopted dad is in the series. Her adopted dad and actual dad.
Yeah, they're both in the series.
Right.
What do you know?
So, I mean, they could be there. Her adopted... Okay. It took for a second. I was like, what are you talking about? Oh, Vader. Stupid. Sorry. But yeah, so she could show up. I doubt we would see Luke. We're not going to see Obi-Wan besides that transmission that we saw, because I feel like they're keeping them so far separate because in A New Hope, they're supposed to feel like very out there by themselves. And like right. Luke has no knowledge of anything. So I would doubt we're going to hear anything about that. But Leia, she's part of the Rebel thing. And when we first see her, she's sending off plans to the Death Star with R2. So obviously she's been doing stuff. She could show up at, I mean, and her dad is, you know, flying around with his Rebel crew and helping Ahsoka, so she could just be on the ship just hanging out. You know, she's in the back watching a movie, and she's like, what's going on? Oh, you guys are doing Rebel stuff? Hey, can I get in on this, Dad?
We could have an entire episode with Sabine and Leia.
They're about the same. Like,
yeah.
Well, Sabine might be a little bit older.
Program.
It'd be cool.
So much.
Anyway, so it's fair game to bring any of those people back. And Boba Fett at this point.
Yeah, Boba's running
He's probably
around.
In his 20s.
Sure.
Yeah.
So he's been bounty hunting
any
now for about 10, 15 years.
Too, man.
Yeah, Bosk back. What's that chick that helped train Boba Fett? Did they?
They killed her in episode 2, didn't they?
Did they?
Aura Singh or
No, they killed it. You're talking about
I'm thinking
the changeling.
Of somebody else. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no, they didn't kill her.
No.
So she's still fair game, like all of those people. We could get the backstories for IG-88 and like all this cool stuff. So who knows? Season 2, wide open. That's why I'm so excited. I love this show because anyone can come and show up and be around the corner. It's great.
We've basically been in predictions for the past 5 minutes.
I know. Sorry,
we have.
Guys. Sorry, guys.
Close
all right, let's finish this up real quick. So they get their they're running out of the ship. They hop back in their TIE fighter and they're flying out. And then Hera asks, like, Ezra, where are you? And he's like, just go. And she says, we are not leaving without you and Kanan. And then you hear right over the intercom, will you just listen to the kid? So
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And the smile on Hera's face. Oh, it was so cute. She was so excited.
It was the happiest she's been in episodes.
So, like, when you watch this and you see, you know, Hera, your character, and you hear yourself, and you know what you're going to say, but when you watch, is it still so fun to see you, like, animated?
It's I learn a lot seeing it fully realized, because you can't really imagine what it's going to look like when you see it.
Right.
It's very different on the page than it is on the screen.
Right.
I mean, it's suggested on the page, but to actually witness that moment, many moments when I see them finally articulated, I kind of, oh, wow. That's, I mean, I learn when I finally see the episode more than I did simply saying
so
the
lines. And that helps you build it for the future.
Absolutely.
So that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So they take this is great too. Sorry, real quick. Kanan goes, "Let's take the Inquisitor's tie," and Ezra says,
"You know he's not going to
use
it."
Well, he's not going to use it. And Kanan, you know what, kid? You worry me sometimes.
Yeah.
Ezra's making these weirdo death jokes too.
Best
soon, Ezra.
Line in the episode. That was amazing.
I mean, it would have been like if Callus had started making, you know, the head puns that we were making after those two guys got decapitated.
Nice.
But we do need that little bit of comic relief because it's been a super intense episode.
Yeah, exactly.
So you just kind of get that laugh at that awful dark humor, and then we swing right back into
the action.
Yeah.
They're flying their TIE fighters. They're trying to get away. Chopper's gone. Where the heck did Chopper go? They all think
he finally decided to kill them all.
Ezra says like, "Oh, it's been nice knowing you guys." And then boom, Chopper comes in, yep. And they're like, "Chopper, you came back," and he makes a little burr, 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 like a little hero noise. Yeah. Got his reinforcements.
Earlier, we see a hologram message. He's communicating with Fulcrum.
Yes, yes. So he went off to catch the rebels, and then they came back together to bail him out. They linked up. They flew off into hyperspace, and this is where we finally got our Ahsoka scene mm-hmm. that we were yelling about at the beginning of the show. it was so amazing. I watched it probably about 30 times. I'm going to watch it 30 more when I get home.
Oh, of course. Just find that little YouTube clip
but
and
then,
put it on repeat.
Then we go to the very end, and it's Tarkin. Oh, and they give a little nod to A New Hope where the ship was blowing up, and they were like, we have to leave the ship. Mm-hmm. And Tarkin has that look on his face like he doesn't want to, but he does. Because in A New Hope, when the Death Star's blowing up, he's like, in our moment of triumph?
Yeah.
And he's dead. So it's a good thing he
left
the
ship once.
Probably should leave again.
He's a smart guy, and obviously he's not the type to go charging into death, but he also strikes me as the type of captain who would go down with the ship.
Right. Mm. Especially the Death Star, because that was his baby.
Yeah. Well, and he also kind of bought into his own propaganda at that point. It's unthinkable.
So Callus says, so we get a little Callus, and we see him say, some people see the Empire as weak and vulnerable. And Tarkin says, not to worry, Agent Callus, the Emperor has sent an alternative solution. Cue Darth Vader. Oh, yeah, Darth Vader comes in.
So, right after reintroducing Ahsoka to the show,
yes, they introduce Vader.
Reintroduce Vader.
So that is
that's clearly set up.
My first thought was this setup. Vader and Ahsoka are going to meet each other in season 2. I feel like the whole season they're going to be crossing paths very closely.
But won't
actually meet until probably the end of season 2.
Because that would be the moment that would rip our hearts out the most.
Rip our
I'm
hearts
staying
out, make
with
us
my
cry.
Prediction. You hate me for it, but I am staying with my prediction.
That Vader.
Do you think he would
they brought her back and they're going to kill her? I can see the comment section exploding from here.
I'm just wondering how we think Vader will react to seeing her, because when he saw Obi-Wan again for the first time, it was just like, oh, you're still around?
Well, Obi-Wan did chop off his legs and arms and leave him to die and burning in lava, so he may be a little angry.
It's a little bit of a different dynamic.
Whereas Ahsoka walked off with him yelling like, no,
come
you know,
back.
Basically like, don't leave, Snips.
Can you imagine Snips in James Earl Jones' voice?
Snips. Yes. All right, guys. That was so exciting. So much fun. Thank you for tuning in all season and watching us. We had a blast. We're going to be at Star Wars Celebration in, I think, a month and a half or so.
Yeah, in April,
And we're going to post videos from that and updates from that. And obviously, if we hear anything about new season 2 news or anything like that, we'll be tweeting us. So, you should follow us. Guys, why don't you tell them where to follow you, Megan?
Do I have time for iTunes shout-outs?
Real quick.
Really quick. Just wanted to say thank you to STSNT, Stealth8604, Bort Dagui, and E. Breen 2P. Thank you guys for going to iTunes and commenting. We really appreciate it. You can follow me at The Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN.
Katie?
On Twitter, thank you to Akash Singh and Brandon C, who have been commenting all episode. You guys are fantastic. And if you see me laughing on camera for no reason, it's because I've been reading your comments. I'm Katie Cullen.
Oh, there you are.
Yep, there you are. They're wonderful. I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I'm also on Arrow and the upcoming Transformers Robots in Disguise after show starting on Sunday, March 15th.
And at Van Marshall.
There you go. And we just announced that Guardians of the Galaxy, they're making a Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon.
Right.
And you're the voice of
Gamora.
Oh, that's gonna be exciting. So we got that coming up too, guys. Look forward to that. And again, thank you for joining us. I'm Dylan Chance. You can find me on Twitter at Dylan Chance. And as always, may the Force be with you.
Always.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.